Good evening. The 2017 graduating class at Brooklyn College received a lecture from its keynote speaker today on the oligarchy which rules in Congress. Here's Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders.
My childhood in Brooklyn was shaped by two profound realities. First, my mom, dad, and older brother, who graduated from Brooklyn College, lived in a 3.5-room rent-controlled apartment. As with many of your families who don't have a lot of money, financial pressure caused friction and tension within our household. From those experiences of growing up without a lot of money, I have never forgotten that there are millions of people throughout this country who struggle to put food on the table, pay the electric bill, try to save for their kids' education, or for retirement. People who, against great odds, are fighting today to live in dignity. The second reality that impacted my life was that my father left Poland at the age of 17 from a community which was not only very poor, but from a country where anti-Semitism, pogroms, and attacks on Jews were not uncommon. While my father emigrated to the United States and escaped Hitler and the Holocaust, many in his family did not. For them, racism, right-wing extremism, and ultra-nationalism were not political issues. They were issues of life and death, and some of them died horrific deaths. From that experience, what was indelibly stamped on my mind was the understanding that we must never allow demagogues to divide us up by race, by religion, by national origin, by gender, or sexual orientation. Black and white, Latino, Asian American, Native American, Christian, Jew, Muslim, and every religion, straight or gay, male or female, we must stand together. This country belongs to all of us. As the United States Senator from Vermont, let me give you a very brief overview of some of the serious crises we currently face, crises which do not often get the attention they deserve, just are not talked about. As a student at James Madison High School many years ago, I recall my social studies teacher talking about how there were small developing countries around the world that were oligarchic societies, places where the economic and political life of the nation were controlled by a handful of very wealthy people. It never occurred to me as a kid in Brooklyn that the United States of America, our great nation, could move in that direction, but that is precisely, in my view, what is happening today. Today in America, the top 0.1% owns almost as much wealth as the bottom 90%. 20 Americans now own as much wealth as the bottom half of America, and one family now owns as much wealth as the bottom 42% of our people. In the last 17 years, while the middle class continues to decline, we have seen a tenfold increase in the number of billionaires. Today in America, CEOs are earning almost 300 times what the average worker makes. And in terms of income, while you and your parents are working in some cases two or three jobs, 52% of all new income generated today goes to the top 1%. Meanwhile, at the same time as we have more income and wealth inequality than any other nation, 43 million Americans live in poverty. Half of older workers have nothing in the bank as they approach retirement. And in some inner cities and rural communities, youth unemployment is 20, 30, 40%. Unbelievably, in our country today, as a result of hopelessness and despair, we are seeing a decline in life expectancy. People are giving up, and they're turning to drugs, to alcohol, and even to suicide. And because of poverty and racism, today, in a broken criminal justice system, we have more people in jail than any other country on earth. And those people are disproportionately Black, Latino, and Native Americans. Directly related to the oligarchic community that we currently have is a corrupt political system which is undermining American democracy, and it's important we talk about that and understand that. As a result of the disastrous Citizens United Supreme Court decision, corporations and billionaires are able to spend unlimited sums of money on elections, and the result is today that a handful, a small number of billionaires are spending hundreds of millions of dollars every single year, often on ugly 30-second TV ads, helping to elect candidates who represent the wealthy and the powerful. And we are seeing the results of how oligarchy functions right now in Congress, where the Republican leadership wants to throw 23 million Americans off of health insurance, cut Medicaid by over $800 billion, defund Planned Parenthood, cut food stamps and other nutrition programs by over $200 billion, cut Head Start and after-school programs, and, by the way, make drastic cuts in Pell Grants and other programs that help working-class kids be able to go to college. And unbelievably, at exactly the same time as they are throwing people off of health care, making it harder for kids to go to college, they have the chutzpah to provide $300 billion in tax breaks to the top 1%. In other words, the very, very rich are getting richer, and they get tax breaks. The working class and the middle class are struggling, and they are seeing drastic cuts, life and death, in life and death programs that could mean survival or not survival for those families. Now, in response to these very serious crises, it seems to me that we have two choices. First, we can throw up our hands in despair. We can say the system is rigged. I am not going to get involved. And that is understandable. But it is wrong. Because the issues that we deal with today, the economic issues, the social issues, the racial issues, the environmental issues, not only impact your lives, they impact the lives of future generations, and you do not have the moral right to turn your back on saving this planet and saving future generations. The truth is that the only rational choice we have The only real response we can make is to stand up and fight back, reclaim American democracy, and create a government that works for all of us, not just the 1%. And for us to do that, it is necessary that we fight for a vision of a new America, an America based on progressive, humane values, not the values of the oligarchy. And what does that mean, briefly in concrete terms? It means that, no, we are not going to throw 23 million Americans off the health care they have. We are going to bring about health care for all as a right, not a privilege. It means that, no, we are not, as the current administration does, deny the reality of climate change. No, we are going to take on the fossil fuel industry, transform our energy system away from fossil fuel to energy efficiency and sustainable energy. It means, no, we're not going to cut Pell Grants and other student assistance. We are going to do what Germany, what Scandinavia, what countries all over the world do, and that is to make certain that public colleges and universities are tuition-free. And we're going to significantly lower student debt, because we believe that anyone in America who has the ability and the desire should be able to get a higher education regardless of his or her income. And no, we're not going to do as the Attorney General of the United States now wants. We're not going to put more people in jail. We're going to fix a broken criminal justice system and invest in education and jobs for our young people, not more jails or incarceration. No, we're not going to defund Planned Parenthood. We're going to vigorously defend a woman's right to choose. My friends, let me conclude by saying this. We live in the wealthiest country in the history of the world. We are seeing an exploding technology which, if used well, has extraordinary potential to improve life. We are an intelligent and hardworking people. If we are prepared to stand together, if we take on greed and selfishness, if we refuse to allow demagogues to divide us up, there is no end to what the great people of our nation can accomplish.
Senator Sanders closes by saying, "Think big, not small. Help us create the nation we can all be." Inspiration echoed by many of the speakers at the Brooklyn College graduation ceremony today. Sanders was preceded by New York Senator Chuck Schumer, who told graduates a story of regret in his personal life.
To this great class of Brooklyn College, Brooklyn, what a great institution it is, of 2017. You know, you're graduating at a time of enormous change across the country and around the world. It's an era of profound economic change, profound social change. The world's moving very, very fast. In the old days, you graduated from college, and the odds were pretty high. You'd have the same job, or at least work in the same field for the next 40 years. Not so true anymore. Many of you will have several jobs, several careers. Along with these economic changes, the internet has put so much information at your fingertips, it's sometimes hard to figure out what's important and to distinguish what's true and what isn't. And even around the world, there have been such great changes. A generation ago, the words terrorism and suicide bombing were unheard of. But the good news is this: your generation is perhaps better equipped than any generation that came before it to adapt to these changes, to overcome the obstacles they present, and seize the opportunities they afford, to pursue your passion and maybe even accomplish big things. But right now, sitting in your seats, you may not be exactly sure of what's coming next. With so much of the world changing, it's understandable that you sometimes feel like you're jumping into an abyss. But the key is not to fear the unknown. Embrace it. Relish it. Soak up every possibility it has to offer. Now, how do I know? Because I had the same feelings when I was at graduation from college decades ago. When I was seated at graduation, I had just learned that I had won a scholarship to travel all around the world, all expenses paid, for a whole year. For me, it was the opportunity of a lifetime. I had never been out of the country before. But at the same time, I had met a girl, and I fell in love. Aww. Class, I had to decide. Do I go around the world for a whole year on the all-expense-paid scholarship? Or do I stay home with the girl, my first true love? Class of 2017, what would you have done? Madam President, the class is divided. I stayed home with the girl. Don't clap yet, you romantics in the corner over there. The story unfolds. That summer, she went on a brief vacation, and I went to the airport to meet her on her return. As soon as she got off the plane, I saw by the look on her face something was wrong. She dumped me by Labor Day. There I was, no scholarship, no trip around the world, no girl. I said to myself, what a loser you are. You're never going to make anything of yourself. Give it up now. It's over. In fact, I hung out in my house for several months, moped around, feeling sorry for myself. But somehow I picked myself up, dusted myself off, and a few years later, I found myself seated at graduation once again, this time from law school.
U.S. Senator from New York, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer. And Eric Adams, former NYPD officer, Brooklyn Borough President, looks out over graduates at the Barclays Center, and he says, you've received a private school education in a public school.
No place does it better than Brooklyn. 47% of Brooklynites speak a language other than English at home. If you want to appreciate what this country has to offer, be a part of the diverse universe of the different ethnicities that we are part of. Visit a mosque, a synagogue, a Baptist church, a Buddhist temple. Learn different foods and different languages. If you stay among people who look like you, talk like you, walk like you, you are living a Shakespearean tragedy. Enjoy the beauty of diversity in everything you do. That's what this moment is about. If you want to be a global changer, then the people around you must be global. And then we must protect our hyphen. That's the dash that sits between our culture. Only in America are you allowed and encouraged to hold on to the diversity of the cultures that we have. African hyphen American, Jewish hyphen American, Caribbean hyphen American, Polish hyphen American. It's the hyphen that's our secret weapon. That's what makes us great as a country. We will out-Trump Trump and let him know that diversity is the ruling part of what America has to represent and what America's about. So let me tell you something, Brooklyn College. If you feel the burn, then it is your turn to get out there and make this country a great place to be. And not everybody's going to like you. You call them haters. Here's what you do. When you sit down at the table of success, have your haters become your waiters and let them know that you're here to stay and you're here to conquer. And I know some of the graduates are from other boroughs and locations. There are two types of Americans, those who live in Brooklyn and those who wish they could. Congratulations to you.
Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams. And today is also the day the officer who shot and killed Tamir Rice was fired from the police department in Cleveland. The young boy's life and others, which ended much too early, touched the heart of the Brooklyn College valedictorian, Kevin Lamont Jones. Here is his speech to the graduates.
Kevin Lamont Jones will receive a bachelor's degree today in television and radio with a minor in Africana Studies. He is also graduating summa cum laude. Following graduation, Kevin plans to attend law school. Please join me in welcoming this year's valedictorian.
Thank you, President Anderson. Brooklyn College alumni, administration, faculty, staff, to our most distinguished guests, to our most supportive and loving families and friends, however, to you, the class of 2017, make some noise. Frederick Douglass noted that it is easier to build strong children than to repair broken men, but he didn't say that it was impossible. I started my academic journey in the late 80s when structural violence and systemic disenfranchisement for African Americans and its effects were not among popular social discourse. So after many years of self-discovery, enduring and overcoming many personal challenges to include economic disadvantage, I arrived to Brooklyn College in fall of 2014. I promised myself I wasn't going to get emotional. I fought through my academic insecurities and tenaciously self-advocated to gain my seat, rightful seat, here in the academy. And you know, I realized that I am not confined to my history and that my perceived limitations were actually my defining strengths. All of my brokenness transformed into a beautiful, bright, new beginning. But I alone did not achieve the gravitational impossibility of pulling myself up by the straps of my very own boots. But I proudly proclaim that I am the product of a village experience. And I owe a great gratitude to my loving family, my 90-year-old grandmother in there over there. I gotta say thank you, television and radio department. Thank you, Nicole St. Clair, the Black and Latino Male Initiative. Thank you, sociology. Thank you, Dr. Kareem. Thank you, Larry Patterson. Thank you to everyone, the Honorable Justice Priscilla Hall. I thank you for lifting me from my socially designated nothing. Imbued with restorative cognition that I stand before you, something of realized dreams. Class of 2017, here we are, and our journey continues. But as we travel, we must do so with purpose and passion, mounted on a foundation of service. Purpose to be equiticians. We want to ensure that all are endowed with equitable opportunities that we have, that they can live out their greatest dreams. Have passion and compassion for the most marginalized and socially discarded of all races, religion, and gender identities. See, we must be the impetus to transform this world into something dynamic and empowering. I'm talking about a world where Trayvon Martins and Tamir Rice, Jordan Edwards, and United States Second Lieutenant Richard Collins III live long enough to fulfill their purpose too. And as I close, we must refocus our lens. We must perceive the world through a prism of empowerment and transformation. In the words of Dr. Cornel West, we must love the ones we lead and serve the ones we save. The world is waiting on you. And allow my biographical witness to provide you with the necessary hope, to provide you that we may navigate this world with purpose and passion, that we may repair all that's broken within this world and resurrect everything that's good within humanity. This is our call. Beyond our degrees, class of 2017, our journey continues. And let me leave you with this. If we do what we should do, we can make America truly live up and value where freedom, justice, and equality for all is truly reigning supreme. Thank you, thank you, and thank you.
And those are some of the speeches at the 2017 Brooklyn College graduation ceremony. Congratulations to all. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.